trembles against my pinky pad. Huh? Oh, yeah, of course. Something honest. I bite the corner of my lip and decide where I want to go with this.
Something real.
Hawk reiterates, waiting and watching. I let out a breath and say the first thing on my mind. I'm terrified of losing you. I said it. It's true. It's honest. It's real. When Patrick comes back, things will change between Hawk and I. No matter what the situation is upon his return, there will be a turning point. And I'm terrified that if I go about this all wrong, I'll lose him. He'll shell up and never let himself open up. Hawk winces, then swallows, staring at me the entire time. His eyes dart back and forth between mine. Pulling my arm towards his chest, he pulls me to his lap, my legs straddling him against the bottom of the couch on the floor, knees on both sides of him. Pressing my lower back until my pelvis is flush against his, he then gently cups my jaw with both hands, resting his head against mine.
"Please don't,"
he says, just above a whisper, answering my statement. I pull my head back a little to look into his eyes. There's such a need there, a need I want nothing more than to satisfy. He doesn't want to lose me either. He's been thinking about it, how things will change when Patrick comes back. "Hawk, I..." He leans forward, pressing his lips against mine, capturing my words into the kiss. His hand snakes around the back of my neck while the other wraps around my lower waist. I feel him press into me with his hips, and I can tell he's hard. I moan against his lower lip, sucking his lip ring between my teeth, then freeing it as his lip snaps back. He rests his head back against the seat of the couch, eyeing me curiously. I dip down to his neck, placing open-mouthed kisses all along the pulsating vein. With his chest rising and falling, he swallows, almost as if it makes him nervous. "Are you all right?" I ask softly, looking him in the eye again, running my hands through the hair at the top of his head. His hands settle at my hips as he looks up at me with desire flowing out of those ocean eyes.
"I'm not all right. I'll never be right again."
Everything about him is so momentous, so significant, so weighty. Everything inside of me wants to lunge out, trying to grasp anything that can connect us on a level unknown to me. How is it that simply looking into another's eyes can bring you a type of nostalgia from a past you've never known? A terrifying comfort that doesn't feel earned yet. I feel at home with him in a way I've always tried to find before this. He studies my face before sliding his hands up my hips, up my back, underneath my sweater, pressing his palms to my skin, softly dragging until reaching my neck. He pulls me back to his lips, kneading mine on his to feel complete again.
"You do something crazy to me,"
he says between kisses, his hands finding the edge of my sweater and pulling it up. I pull back from the kiss to allow him to take it off. He removes my bra, unclasping it from behind, letting the straps fall free down my arms, leaving me exposed, feeling vulnerable in the light. I immediately cross my arms over myself.
"Cole, don't. You're so beautiful,"
he whispers before running a hand from the side of my neck down my chest, his arm between my breasts, and placing his palm directly over my heart. He kisses me again, holding his hand there in the most intimate touch. His other hand grabs mine and places it on his bare chest, against his heart as our tongues dance above them to the increased tempo. I've never felt more connected to someone than I do to him at this moment. Our kiss continues until I feel faint with lust. I'm so totally consumed by him in every way. There's an unspoken connection we share, and it's more powerful than anything I've ever felt. I roll my hips forward into his lap, needing to be closer, earning a breathy groan from him. Slipping to the side, I remove my sweatpants with his help and return to the warm place on his lap, now wearing nothing at all. His large, veiny hands find my exposed thighs and run their way up my entire frame, my skin tingling with every touch, the sensation giving me chills. He inhales a breath and lets it out when his eyes finally reach mine, seemingly overwhelmed.
"Oh, it just never stops,"
he says softly, running his thumb over my bottom lip. "What's that?" I question, cocking my head.
"Every second with you makes me need another,"
he says, as if he's pained by the thought. I pause, my heart aching in my chest. I reach between us, running my hand slowly down his chest towards the tented area in his sweats. While staring directly into his eyes, I pull his pants down with his help until we are finally pressed up against each other in only the form we were created. "Never stop," I whisper against his lips.
"Never stop what?"
he asks, trailing his fingers up and down my back. "Needing me," I say, before we fall back into our kiss like we never left it. 26. Never close enough. I'm so overwhelmed with emotion. Something about this man beneath me speaks to a part of my soul that's been left untouched until him.
"Oh, I need to be inside you,"
he murmurs into my neck, littering kisses all along my chest. "Cam, please," I beg him, running my fingers through his hair. I continue rolling my hips against him, the feeling of us being so close yet not connected, driving us both mad.
"I don't have anything out here,"
he licks his lips, searching my eyes. I understand what he's referring to, insinuating I need to get up off him so he can grab what we need to make this happen. But I'm intoxicated by lust, drunk in need, and I ache to feel him with nothing separating us. "I don't care," I whisper, fingers twirling the tips of his hair, grinding against him again.
"Cole,"
he says cautiously, knowing we shouldn't. "I need to feel you," I whisper against his lips.
"You trust me?"
he asks, leaning back to look at my face, scanning it for something, anything that might make me pull back. "I do. I mean, I'd hope you'd stop me if this was a bad idea."
"It's a bad idea,"
he says with a light grin. I roll my eyes at him, smiling lightly back. "I'm on the pill, if you're wondering." He's still panting as I slowly grind myself on him during our quick discussion. The thought of being inside me with nothing making the wheels turn in his head.
"Okay,"
he whispers, seemingly nervous. Without knowing it, he's helping me fall, reckless and wild, with no inhibitions. Everything I was, calculated, cautious, afraid, is being thrown from my entity. He makes me tap into an unknown part of myself I've never reached, a strength that comes from letting go.
"I've never done this before,"
he swallows. I gaze at him, listening to him admit something I never expected. "Me either," I admit. His eyes light up with surprise and confusion. "But it's true, I've never experienced this with Patrick before. If anything, it would definitely have crossed the clean and Catholic line. The little bit of latex makes him feel as though he's not sinning and sending himself on a clear path to eternal damnation. But with Hawk, we're both willingly diving into the depths of hell together." I reach between us, gently wrapping my hand around him. He sucks in a breath, looking down, then back into my eyes with an unsure face, his chest heaving with breathlessness. I love this side of him, the seriousness, the truth. The part of him that tells me what's happening between us is not what he's used to. He's opening up to me, telling me this means something, that what we have between us isn't regular. I lean up onto my knees, steadying myself above him as he lines himself with my entrance. He looks up at me with the kind of respect you'd give a queen that was holding a knife to your neck. He knows I could kill him with one cut, end him beautifully with the vulnerability he's offering, but admires my power over him nonetheless. He brushes himself against my wet center, making us moan in unison. The feeling of the most intimate part of him touching me with no barrier is making me ache for this moment of pure connection. We eye each other as I begin my descent around him, sinking down onto his thickness. It's achingly painful, this angle, how hard he is, and the fact that there's nothing but our skin touching. It's the most beautiful, raw, crashing together of two individuals needing to be one. He grabs the back of my neck, his mouth dropping open as he attempts to keep his eyes open on me. He lifts his hips up gently while I sit back onto his lap. I moan loudly, feeling an arousal I've never experienced, reaching the base of him, settling for a moment to adjust. It's different than in the car. The car was wild, hungry, aggressive. This is slow, precise, passionate. I lift and lower myself onto him, my excitement dripping down his length, making his thickness easy for me to swallow deep within my walls. "This feels right," I whisper, catching my breath. "You and me." His eyebrows knit together, searching my eyes in disbelief, before he licks my top lip, finding his way into my mouth again.
"This is how it was supposed to be,"
he says between kisses.
"You in my arms, me deep inside you."
I take my hands, interlocking fingers in his, pinning them back against the couch and bracing myself as I slowly slide him in and out of me. My heart is beating out of my chest, seeing him stare at me with those eyes on fire. It's a terrifying realization, knowing nothing will come close to comparing to how I feel in this moment. I can't lose him. It's now a rational fear of mine. I'm falling for him in all the ways I don't want to. He bends his knees up, giving his heels some leverage as he thrusts his hips into me. Loving all the ways this position is making me moan, he can't stop staring at me. Completely observant, enthralled by my sounds, my faces, appreciating the chance to be the one to bring me pleasure. His hands pull away from mine, needing to touch me. Massaging my breasts in his palms, he runs his thumbs across my sensitive, aching nipples as I roll my hips into him.
"Fuck, you feel like nothing I've ever felt."
He groans, grabbing the flesh of my backside in his large hands, roughly pulling me down onto him. "Hawk!" I cry out as he fills me again and again. The sensation has his eyes rolling back into his head. I claw at his chest, feeling the urge to release, the spine-tingling stirring of the orgasm at bay.
"Oh, yeah, baby, let go."
He groans, tightening his jaw as he watches me lose control. I scream out, wrapping my hands around the sides of his neck, gripping him tightly as I fall into the intensity of my orgasm. He pulls me flush against his chest, wrapping both arms behind my back, sealing us together as he drives into me. I fall apart around him, letting the fireworks behind my eyes take over my vision as I succumb to the beautiful, numbing sensation. Shuddering into me, he continues until his thrusts get sloppy, his hard form wilting beneath me. I feel the warmth of him filling me, the sensation of the wetness dripping out around him. It's one of the most erotic, most provocative sensations, one I'll be thinking about long after we're done. With his chest heaving like an Olympic runner finishing his marathon, he drops his head back against the couch, pulling me to his lips. The kiss is soft and sensual. Even after the passion, he's still delivering.
Oh, you're killing me, Cole,
he says, finally pulling away from my lips, earning a grin of admiration from me.
There are no fucking words.
Eventually, after our lips are yet again swollen from endless kisses, I hop off him, grabbing a towel from the bathroom to clean up before getting comfortable in our sweats again. He pats the space next to him on the heaping pile of blankets and pillows. I curl up into his warmth, my cheek against his chest and his arm around me, our legs intertwined. Cuddling is something we know how to do, and well. Hawk is continuously touching me, my face, running fingers down my arms, combing my hair through his fingers. I can tell he's memorizing all of this. For a time, he might not have it. The thought of him mentally taking notes in this moment to the fullest, with the knowledge that it may never happen again, kills a piece of my heart. "What's this mean?" I ask, running my fingers over the tattoo on his ribcage that looks like some sort of molecule. He sits up a bit to see which one I'm rubbing, then grins, laying his head back against the pillows.
"That's my attempt at keeping myself functioning through the dark times in my life. It's a dopamine molecule."
"I love that," I whisper, still running my finger over it, silently wishing he'd never got to the point of needing it. "And this one?" I point to another one near it that looks like an old, decrepit skeleton of a dead rat, flat on its back.
"That's got double meaning. For one, it's the prey I've conquered, metaphorically and physically. I mean, my last name is Hawk."
He grins with a slight shrug.
"But it's also a representation of how I feel about rats."
I won't pretend I didn't just see his jaw flex at the mention. "You have so many," I say softly, touching a few others. I admire the collection before me, a man with his story written on his skin. Only the lucky ones who get to read his pages.
This is my favorite.
He points to the Phil Collins outline, the one that I've been really wondering about.
"I got it for Ben."
He turns his head, slowly connecting his eyes with mine, and I feel him making the choice to open up this deep wound for me. I make soft circles over the tattoo, curling into him more as he turns back to the ceiling before talking about it.
"He loved Phil. So strange for a young guy to have such an obsession with Phil Collins, but Ben did whatever he wanted to and everyone loved him for it. Even said they were related when I first met him and I believed it." "Damn kid."
He chuckles at the memory. My heart feels like someone is squeezing it in their fist, watching him talk about his friend, especially knowing he's passed on.
"Ben was my best friend. Not a day went by where he didn't make me laugh. He always found a way to pick me up, especially on those days when I couldn't do it myself. We understood each other on a different level. He saw me for who I was, not for what I could do for him. He was the closest thing I had to a family after my father passed."
Hawk swallows, staring into the ceiling fan, and I feel the weight of this friendship to him.
"After his death, I fell apart. I closed myself up, becoming numb to everything and everyone around me. I had to survive. I had to. Until you."
He turns his head to face me, looking sad and entirely vulnerable at his own admission. I grab for his hand in mine immediately, holding it to my chest against my racing heart. snuggling into his side as far as I can. I want him to know how much letting me in means to me, how much he means to me. I'm going to end things with Patrick, I say, running my fingers along the inside of his palm before turning to face him where I'm laying. He stares at his hand, watching what I'm doing while running his tongue along his teeth, thinking.
Don't do that for me,
he says cautiously. It's not just that. It's everything you've made me realize about myself. He studies my face while I mentally recite everything that's wrong with our relationship. I sigh before saying, I just have to figure out how to go about this.
I understand,
he whispers before brushing the back of his hand against my cheek.
It's not going to be easy.
I know. My voice cracks as I speak, biting the inside of my cheek at the painful thought.
Hey,
he says, sensing my pain and sitting up to turn me to face him.
It's okay. Everything will be okay.
I wish life could be easy. I wish I could just call Patrick up and say, guess what? It's over. But the reality is, this guy is all I've known for the past few years. My life is unfortunately intertwined with his. I stupidly invested all that I am into a relationship that was never meant to work out. I ignored the signs, ignored my own thoughts, thinking I was overreacting and being crazy. He was great on paper. Should be great in real life, too, right? I worked so hard to make us work, and now I'm left with nothing but the regret of failure. I will need to make arrangements, plan to find a place in this small town to live, because as soon as the truth comes out, I know where I'll stand. I'll be on the curb. But what about Hawk? I can't be the cause of him not having a place to live. I can't tell Patrick the truth about Hawk and me because he doesn't need any more setbacks in this life he's working hard to correct. I don't want to make his life worse. I want to make it better, any way that I can. He lays back down, pulling me into him and wrapping a blanket up and around us. We lay together on the floor in the pile of pillows, falling asleep with our arms and legs intertwined, never seeming to get close enough. We'll never get close enough. 27. If looks could kill. The next morning, I wake to the sound of light breathing. I had to orient myself for a moment, feeling like everything that had happened yesterday was a dream. It's funny how a few quick moments can drastically change the entire outcome of your life, causing everything you thought you knew to turn upside down. One decision leads you into another life in an entirely new direction. Anyone who says they can't control their own fate has never tried. I hadn't tried before Hawk. I was sucked into the belief that the power was out of my control and that I should consider myself blessed and lucky to be where I was and let that be that. By no means am I saying I'm not lucky. I'm healthy, I'm alive, I have the freedom of choice. But that's where the power lies. I have choices, many choices I need to make to find myself, and what I do with that will be monumental. Hawk stirs next to me before sighing and pulling me flush against him again, pulling the blanket over me. I smile to myself, loving the fact that he's doing this in his sleep. It's natural for him to nurture. I lean up above him a bit, staring down at his relaxed face, his pouty lips begging to be kissed. Pressing my lips against them, I feel the cool metal of his lip ring. I pull back and grin at his sleeping face. I'm enjoying indulging in this without him knowing. I lean over to the side of his face, brushing the inky hair away from his forehead. I just barely touch my mouth to the shell of his ear, whispering words from a favorite poem by Jonathan Muncie Storm that made me think of him. You're my calm in the soul, crazy in the flesh. I leave a soft kiss on his earlobe, then find his lips again and get another fix. He inhales a breath, then slowly begins moving his lips against mine, waking up and figuring out what's happening. He hums against me, making my heart skip a beat.
Busted.
He whispers in a cracked tone.
Now you know how I felt.
I break out into a smile, remembering the time he kissed me and woke me up after cuddling. He couldn't help himself, and the idea he was thinking what I'm thinking warms me all over. He blinks his eyes open, looking at me through squinted lashes. His forehead wrinkles as he looks around the room.
What time is it?
9, I say, looking at my phone. Yep, no more messages. No missed calls. As if I didn't exist at all. It's honestly angering me more than anything else. I'm not even sad about it anymore.
Shit.
Huck says abruptly.
I gotta run.
He sits up quickly, standing to run a hand through his hair, pulling up the sweats that are hanging off his hips, making me feel a tingling ache in my core. His shirtless form never fails to get me excited. He bends over and begins folding the blankets from the floor. I got it. Don't worry about it. Just do whatever you need to do, I say, grabbing a blanket from him with an easy smile. I have no idea where he needs to be or why, but I'm assuming maybe it has something to do with a new job. He ignores me, folding until all the blankets are put away and the pillows are piled back where they belong, clearly not letting me do it myself. Quickly changing into a pair of jeans and a new t-shirt, he slips on his boots, grabbing for the keys to Kid's car, or what used to be his.
I have a couple of things to do today, but will you be around before work tonight?
He asks, walking towards me. Oh shit. Yeah, I go in early tonight, so no. There's some poker tournament at the VFW today, and many of them head to 9 to 5 straight after. I told John I'd open. He licks his lips, looking down to the ground, then back at me, frowning.
What time do you work till?
I'll probably get done around 9, as long as it's not too busy. Most of them crash early because it's an all-day event. I shrug.
All right, I'll be there later,
he says, looking at me with a grin pulling at his perfect lips. You will? I ask, matching his grin.
Of course, I'll need to see you.
He answers, like it was crazy to assume he wouldn't. I can't contain the smile that he puts on my face. I shouldn't ever try. Well, I guess I'll see you later then. I bite the corner of my lip. I can't help but be a little disappointed. I thought maybe we'd have the day to spend together. He notices my sudden shift in energy. Gazing at my lips, his tongue toying with his lip ring while watching me, he grabs my waist, pulling me into him so we're flush together.
I can't wait to see you,
he whispers, still staring at my lips. You're seeing me now, silly, I smile, my heart racing again at the closeness.
And I miss you already,
he says in a serious tone, pressing his forehead against mine. His hands wrap around me, one behind my back, the other at the side of my neck. His thumb at the edge of my jaw, tracing the line. Last night was amazing, I mutter out, then mentally slap myself for sounding so stupid.
All of yesterday was amazing,
he replies, staring deeply into me.
But everything with you always is.
I suck in some air, feeling faint at his words. He makes me feel so rare, so incomparable. As if my being in his life has changed him. No one has ever made me feel so important, my existence so crucial for their survival. He dips his head down, as if he's about to kiss me, but stalls suddenly to check my eyes for permission. I nod as he finally presses his lips to mine softly and sweetly before kissing my forehead. He rests his head upon mine again, as if knowing he has to go, but hanging on to this moment as long as the moving speed of time will allow. After his departure, I spent a few hours cleaning up the house. I washed dishes, thinking of him. I wash a load of laundry, thinking of him. I make coffee, thinking of him. He's the only thing on my mind, his presence now captivating my entire consciousness. It doesn't seem healthy. I can't get him off my mind, and yet I can't seem to get in Patrick's at all. I've thought about calling him, but why? So I can feel like I'm pestering him again? He can call me if he wants to. He's the one that left. As soon as he comes back, we need to have a serious talk about where we go from here, how we move forward, separately. I'm nervous just thinking about it because I know in my heart it won't be easy. I spend the rest of the afternoon working on sending some documents for a final draft I've been editing to the publishing house, while curiously wondering where Hawk is and what he's been up to. Sitting back in the chair at my desk and taking a sip of tea, I hear a knock at the door, startling me. Strange. Hawk wouldn't knock, nor would Patrick. No one comes here besides us three. I make my way to the door, opening it, and seeing a large, burly man holding a clipboard in front of me.
Good morning, ma'am,
he says in a perky tone.
Just dropping off. Need a signature?
He's not holding a package, or any mail at all, for that matter. I cock my brow at him as he continues smiling at me. It's then I notice my car, parked in the driveway behind him. It's being delivered from the bar? Yes, of course, I stutter, having no clue how it got here.
Needed a new battery. Mr. Hawk said to have it here before 3 for you.
He smiles a tight-lipped smile while I sign the paper, noticing the name of the shop stitched on his uniform. Mr. Hawk, huh? I feel that thing you don't want to feel in your heart again. That strong tightness, that inability to breathe properly, insinuating something that shouldn't be. I try to hold back my grin before handing the clipboard back to him and saying goodbye. I stand there with my arms crossed, leaning against the open door, staring at the car. The cool morning breeze sweeping across my face, doing nothing to cool the warmth burning inside of me. Work is busy. It appears this poker tournament had a great turnout this year. The bar is crawling with fresh faces along with the old, most of them already on their way towards passing out early. I can't help but gaze longingly at the door, waiting for him to come. I know I'm being stupid for doing this, but I can't help the excitement that I feel every time that door swings open at the chance it might be him. John comes in a few hours later with a big smile. This guy is just always genuinely so happy. It's infectious to be around.
Nick, Nick, there she is,
he declares, walking around the back of the bar, giving me a little side hug.
How are you, darling?
Good. It's busy as hell today, I say, nodding towards the commotion of people.
I know, you should have called me. I could have come in earlier to help.
Ain't nothing I can't handle. I wink at him before the door opens again. It's insane. I feel his presence before I see it. The hairs on my arms raise and I get instantly anxious, yet calm at the sight of him. It's the strangest feeling, one I'm clearly not used to. There he is, in his black distressed jeans, loose black t-shirt clinging to his form, his tattoos the perfect accent to the entire look. Hawk's hair is slightly slicked back again with those pieces that drop forward, hanging into his eyes. His tall, statuesque form making the people around him seem so insignificant. Kid walks in behind him as they make their way to the table in the back. Passing through, Hawk turns his head, connecting his eyes to mine. His hard face breaks into a shy half-smile, while a piece of my heart breaks off and drops into the pit of my stomach. We are in on our own little secret, and I'm completely turned on just knowing that not even 24 hours ago, he was inside me. He runs his hand through his hair before licking his lips as his eyes gaze at me flirtatiously. I bite the corner of my lip and sigh as he talks to Kid.
You guys seem to be getting along again, huh?
John's voice snaps me out of my gaze with a startle. Yeah, we've been getting along fine. I spit out quickly, turning to stir the ice in the cooler that doesn't need to be stirred. He leans against the back of the bar, crossing his arms with a questionable smirk, staring at Hawk, then back at me.
I think he has a crush on you,
he says as Hawk looks over at me from the seat he's sitting in, making me feel flush. He's leaning back in his chair, an elbow on the back of it, one of his legs splayed out casually while he chews on the tip of his thumb like he does, staring at me like he's envisioning all the things he wants to do to me later. That's preposterous, I reply to John, still staring back into Hawk's eyes, unable to peel them away.
I mean, that would explain the anger. He was fighting his feelings for you, probably hates seeing you with Patrick, wishing it was him holding you late at night. That's gotta be awkward, eh?
He laughs jokingly before pushing off the bar and grabbing some freshly washed glasses and stacking them. I could just die. Shut up, John. I playfully push him in the chest as he continues laughing. Hawk's eyes narrow slightly at the touch as he sits up in his seat watching us. I flutter my lashes, feeling a little overwhelmed, before shaking my head at the conversation and returning to work. John and I work amazingly together, as we always do, shuffling back and forth, filling drinks for each other, putting drinks on taps, taking payments while the other mixes up cocktails. I go to make a rum and coke for someone when the coke from the fountain runs out. Shit, I whisper to myself. John, I gotta connect another coke. I'll be right back. He shoots me a thumbs up as he leans over the bar, trying to hear another guy over the loud music. I make my way to the back hallway to the supply room. Opening the door, fingers grasp around my upper arm, pushing me in through the tiny dark space. I gasp before I see who it is. I turn to face Hawk, leaning over me with a playful grin as he helps me into the small closet area, closing the door behind him. He presses his lips against mine forcefully, finding my tongue immediately. I moan, falling back into the opposing wall while his hands cup my face. I run my hands along his lower back, finding my way beneath his shirt and touching his warm skin as we continue the kiss. It's so necessary, this need to touch him, the need to taste him again. He pulls back, seemingly out of breath, before smiling his perfect half-grin again.
Cole, what are you doing to me?
He asks before placing soft, sweet kisses all over my face. I grip his shirt in my hands, pulling him into my body, needing to feel that part of him against me again. He presses himself into me, pinning my hips against the wall. I lean into him, licking the side of his neck, finding a small area of skin just above his collarbone and suck, dragging my teeth roughly. He groans deeply, letting his head hang as I leave a mark.
Fuck,
he says breathlessly, pressing his erection into me, lifting the edge of my shirt and finding the skin above my hip. Hawk, I gotta get back out there. I smile as he kisses my neck. He groans, dropping his face in the crook of my neck.
I know, I just couldn't help it. I missed the taste of you.
He traces his lips along my jaw. I pull him back a little by his shoulders so I can look at him. I cup my hands around his neck, thumbs along his jaw. This morning, you left to get my car fixed?
Of course, you had to get to work today.
He says, like it was idiotic for me to think he wouldn't. I sigh, gazing from his lips back to those sweet, soul-crushing eyes. Thank you so much. I can't—
Cole, stop.
He interrupts.
I'd do anything for you.
My stomach flips as I feel the butterflies of his words unleashed inside of me. I stare at him in awe, letting it all sink in.
Come on, let me hook this up for you, then you can get back out there,
he says, taking the box from behind me. We both walk out at different times, him a minute before me to make sure we're not caught by anyone looking. I smile to myself, hopping back behind the bar, when I realize no one did, as I continue filling drinks and taking orders. I pour up some shots for a group of older men when I hear a slight commotion coming from the back corner. Hawk's corner.
Guess we're drinking with scum today.
A man, who's clearly inebriated, yells. My head snaps up at his words. He's looking at the table where Hawk, Kid, and a few of their other friends are sitting. He just sits there, staring at the guy with narrowed eyes, his body relaxed with his chin tipped up, his brows knit together, clearly not entertaining him.
Fucking junkies everywhere.
The man yells again. John is on the other end of the bar helping some customers over there, oblivious to the commotion, so I make my way over to the disruption. Hawk sees me approaching and an immediate look of anxiousness fills his face.
Waste of fucking space. Gotta keep animals like you locked up,
he says, directing his anger at Hawk. My mouth drops open at his disrespect as my eyes travel between him and this man. Sir, you need to leave, I say sternly, approaching his side.
What?
He turns to face me.
No, fuck no.
He yells into my face. Hawk snaps, standing up, sending his chair flying backwards to place himself between us abruptly, staring down at the man dangerously. He suddenly looks so intimidating and threatening. A far cry from the soft, gentle guy who just met me in the back room.
Kid, get her out of here.
He says calmly through a clenched jaw, eyes never leaving the man in front of him. Kid gently grabs my upper arm.
Come on, let's let them handle this.
He walks me back towards the bar when I take his wrist in mine, twisting his arm around backwards to free myself from his grasp.
Ah, damn girl!
He shrieks. I march back towards the man who's in Hawk's face, approaching the side of them, ready to push him out of the door myself if I have to.
How's it feel to be a literal piece of shit?
He growls at him with a disgustingly smug smile. I can't take this anymore. He's baiting him, degrading him, while knowing Hawk can't do anything about it. I'm assuming he knows who he is by the way he's talking down to him. He clearly knows his story and the fact that he went to prison. The look on Hawk's face is enough to break my heart. I see his pain. I see his anger. He narrows his eyes, clenching his jaw so tightly with his fists curled at his sides. He's irate and emotionally distraught, but in the position where he can't express that. I gently place my hand on Hawk's shoulder, hoping to bring him some sort of calm, but he flinches and abruptly dodges my touch, scaring me slightly. I suck in a breath and back off, suddenly intimidated myself.
Say it. I fucking dare you.
Hawk threatens through his teeth at the man, his chest heaving in anger.
Oh yeah? What are you gonna do? Kill me?
He replies with a knowing face. A knowing face with a word that sends an immediate chill down my spine. The kind of chill that shakes me to my core. Chapter 28. Make Me Feel.
What are you gonna do? Kill me?
I can't get the phrase out of my head. Why would he say it like that? It was like he was insinuating Hawk had killed before. I can't imagine he'd be capable of something so horrible, so vicious. It doesn't seem remotely possible. Not the guy I've come to know. Shortly after the man got in his face, the tension was insanely high, and I was legitimately terrified that Hawk would snap. But he never did. He stood there in the face of the insults, letting them bounce off his tough exterior like a shield he'd formed from the tragedies of his past. He was so strong, holding it together with his fists shaking at his side when I knew all he wanted to do was break. He knew what the consequences were for slipping up, even if he was in the right. I was in awe of his restraint. John ran over from behind the bar, breaking up the scene with his loud, stern tone. He kicked the drunk idiot out along with his few friends who were getting rowdy, too. He's going to be a great dad one day with that voice. He intimidated me, even in his specs and Crocs. Huck turns to me, knowing we're still being watched by everyone as the incident caused a bit of a scene.
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was you that touched me.
I forget the mental place he's still in, always needing to protect his back, never knowing who's attacking next. 5 years in prison will do that to you, I'm sure. It's fine, Hawk. I shouldn't have intervened.
Let's go, man. Head to the cabin instead.
Kid comes up beside him, slapping him on the back.
You don't need this shit.
He turns to him, running his hand against the back of his neck before turning to face me again.
I guess I'm gonna go,
he says, lingering there for a moment. Kid walks towards the door as I look down at the floor, then back up at him. Yeah. I'm so confused. My heart hurts for him and his situation, yet something about it all terrifies me. How can you tell if you really know a person? Is it how they make you feel? Or is it what they show you? Is it action? Or is it emotion? Every time I think I know who Hawk is, I get struck with the cold realization that I don't really know him at all. I don't want to dig into his past. I want to trust him. But can I trust he's not withholding certain things that would scare me away?
You all right?
He asks softly before reaching out his hand for my face. He quickly pauses, curling the hand into a fist before pretending to scratch an itch, forgetting where he is. Says the guy who was harassed by some asshole who knew you couldn't fight back. I'm so mad for you, I grumble, folding my arms tightly across my chest before glaring towards the front door. He rests his hands on top of his head, sighing while looking at me with a somber expression, almost appearing sad. What is it? I ask softly at his strange demeanor.
I thought maybe you'd...
He stutters, then shakes his head, stopping himself. What? You thought I'd be scared of you? You thought I'd listen to that guy? Take his word for who you are, I ask, questioning what it was he was thinking. He opens his mouth, but the words don't come out. I'm not afraid of you, Hawk. I know you'd never hurt me. And I can't even begin to imagine what you've been through.
Hawk, Marion's here, let's ride out.
Kid calls out, interrupting our conversation from the door. He turns to hold up a finger while Marion pops her head in through the door. It's that chick that was at our house that night. The one who had her tongue down Hawk's throat. The idea of them all going to the cabin together bothers me. I'm instantly feeling a tinge of jealousy. This is such a messy situation. I blink with a bland face, remembering the scene as Hawk turns back to face me. His face studies mine curiously, as if he's trying to figure me out. I get the sense that he doesn't really want to leave, but can't exactly explain to Kid why he'd want to stay. Well, I should go. I point a thumb over my shoulder at the bar, interrupting the awkward moment. He brushes up beside me as if walking past, but interlocks his pinky with mine. Facing the door with his mouth by my ear, he whispers in a deep, demanding tone.
Later, me and you.
It's all he says before walking past me and heading out of the bar. A burst of excitement tingles my insides, lighting a fire deep within. 4 little words from him can change my entire attitude like the flip of a switch. Later that night, I get off around 9:30, finally making the trip back home. As soon as I get in the car, my phone rings. Patrick. I rest my head back against the car seat for a moment, unsure of what to do. Do I answer it? Do I ignore it? Do I throw the phone through the window and drive off across the country until I run out of gas? I decide to answer it on the last ring. Hello?
Hey, Nick.
He says softly.
How are you?
I take a deep breath, calming my nerves. I'm good. Just got off work. Heading home.
So you got the car fixed? Everything was okay?
Actually, Hawk took it in for me. It needed a new battery. He paid for it. I'm not even pretending not to be snarky with my response. Hawk took care of it. He took care of me when he wasn't around, in more ways than one.
Really?
He questions in disbelief.
That's surprising.
Yes, really. I roll my eyes, shaking my head as I turn onto our street.
Well, good. Glad it's fixed.
My eyes narrow at his response. What kind of man is okay with another man taking care of their woman for him? He literally doesn't care. Doesn't care that Hawk paid for it. Doesn't care that he stepped up to help. Nothing. I remain quiet, not even knowing what to say.
Everything else all right? You and Hawk getting along okay? He's not giving you any trouble, is he? Sean told me he saw a few new cars on the block, thought maybe he was having a party or something.
Patrick, are you kidding me? Of course, that would explain it. Sean, his older brother by a year and a half. He also works in the family business, but clearly didn't go on the trip. No, he's just staying around town, spying on the house, watching my car's whereabouts. He's a prick. I hate Sean.
Just making sure he isn't messing the place up for you.
He's been fine, I say, clipping it short as I park the car and sit back into the seat.
All right, just checking. You home now?
Yep, just pulled in. I'll wave to Sean.
Not funny, but seriously, I miss you.
As mad as I want to be, there is a small part of me that's just sad. I'm sad about what I've done to him. I'm sad about how this is playing out. I'm sad about an ending that is on the horizon. Do you? I ask, seriously curious.
Of course, Nick. I know it's been hard lately, but when I get back, I promise everything will be better.
Ugh, God, I don't even know what to say. I squeeze the steering wheel in my hand, closing my eyes tightly.
But I should get to bed. One more meeting tomorrow morning, and then I'll be on my way home to you.
Okay. Well, good night.
Good night, babe. I'll see you soon.
With that, he hangs up. I smash my forehead into the steering wheel, hating everything that is my life. I hate that I can't say anything. I can't tell him over the phone. I don't even know if I can tell him at all. It isn't just my situation that's at risk anymore, and that makes everything even more difficult. Walking into the dark house, I flip on the lights and throw my bag and phone on the kitchen table. I immediately head to the shower, letting the hot water be the healing touch I need. Standing there beneath the scalding heat of the shower head, I silently hope for answers, hope for clarity. But nothing happens. It's just another shower for a guilty person who's seeking resolution in places she'll never find. Changing into some leggings and a large, oversized t-shirt, I let my hair air dry after combing it out. I walk out to grab a glass of water from the fridge, when I'm surprised by the silhouette of a person sitting at the kitchen table. Jesus Christ! I scream out, seeing Hawk. You scared the piss out of me! He's leaning back into the chair with an arm over the back, the tips of his fingers on my phone on the table, a strange look in his eye. How was the cabin? I ask, not sure about the energy between us at the moment.
Lame as always,
he answers somewhat coldly. His hand hovers over my phone for a moment before setting it on the table next to it.
Patrick forgot to tell you he loved you.
His eyes snap up at mine for a moment, and I feel like I've been hit with a brick to the gut. I take a breath, swallow what feels like glass in my suddenly dry throat. I grab the phone, seeing the message from Patrick that must have popped up while he was sitting there, waiting for me to get out of the shower. He called when I was on my way home from work. It's not what you think.
Cole, stop,
he says, interrupting me while standing. I look around, desperately searching for the words right now, but I don't even know what to say. He's hurt. I can physically feel his pain. After everything he's been through tonight, now this. He walks towards me as I anxiously look up at him. His gaze travels from my eyes to my lips and back, as if suddenly, because of this text, there's a barrier between us that wasn't there before. He's contemplating even touching me now.
You don't need to explain yourself.
The way he's just standing over me, so close yet seemingly miles away, breaks me. I grab the bottom edge of his t-shirt, pulling him to me before I wrap my arms around his waist. But I do. The move shocks him as his stiff form slowly molds around mine, his heart pounding against my ear. I do need to explain. I don't want to hurt you. I don't even know if I am. I don't know what I'm doing, I say, exacerbated, looking up at him, my chin on his chest.
Come here,
he says soothingly, bringing me over to the couch to sit down with him. He sits back on the couch, opening his legs for me. I move into the space, curling into him as he wraps his arms around me comfortingly. Trailing with the tips of his fingers, he rubs my back softly.
You're not...
He stutters, trying to find his words.
You're not hurting me. I understand where you're at with this, not that it makes it easy. But I know it takes time to figure it all out.
I turn to look up at him, leaning back into the crook of his elbow as he holds me. Being close like this, touching each other, is such a calming and comforting place. I hated not being here a minute ago. I hated his hesitation to touch me. I never want to be back in that place.
Remember when I told you that you don't even know who you are yet, and that you hold yourself back, but I'll be here when you figure it out?
He asks softly, running soft circles with his fingers on my thigh. I do, I reply, remembering that moment between us in the car on the way back from the concert.
While you're figuring it out, I'm here, and I'll be here. Just thought you should know.
He's basically telling me he's not going anywhere. He's waiting for me. Waiting for me to grow, to become who I am. He's the net that's set to catch me when I fall. I turn to face him as he lays back, eyeing me for a response. I'm terrified of hurting you. I just need time to sort it out, but I will.
I'm a big boy, Cole. I can withstand a lot. I'd withstand more than what I probably should for you.
Hawk.
Just don't worry about me.
He pulls me up to face him. We're inches apart again, our eyes reflecting each other's, seeing the soul inside, knowing it, and finding our lost home again.
Wreck me. Shatter me. Destroy me. Be the ruin of me. I don't care. Just make me feel like it.
He whispers against my lips. Cam. I whisper back, wincing at his words. I grab his face in my hands, running my thumbs over his bottom lip. I rub the ring in the middle, then slowly inch closer. Pausing, I look up at him for approval. And he gives me a little grin and a head nod like I did to him this morning. I press my lips to his and immediately I'm able to breathe again. He's the source of all of my calm, the creator of my happiness, the inspiration I've always sought but could never find. He groans in approval, slipping his tongue inside my mouth. Every kiss with him feels more erotic than sex alone. It's so intimate and sexy how he works his tongue. It's him communicating his emotions, his feelings through the power of his kiss alone. One thing leads to another, and before I know it, I'm on my back on the couch with him hovering above me again. He looks down at me with his hair falling into his eyes, his muscular arms bracing himself just above me, his breathing already labored. We're back to this without a hiccup, back to needing more than we ever seem to be able to get from one another. What are we doing? I ask with an easy grin, running my fingers through a piece of hair in front of his eye. He smirks back at me, studying my face beneath him before his face turns serious.
We're losing ourselves in each other.
I swallow at his words, knowing each step we take, we fall a little bit further. Leaning down, He licks his lips before placing them on mine. He presses his weight on me, letting me feel all of him as we get lost together in our playground of darkness and desire. 29. Wild. I'm sorry. I flutter my lashes at him, biting my bottom lip as my fingers trace the scratches on his chest.
Please.
He scoffs beneath me.
These wounds are worth it.
I eye the bite marks, the row of hickeys I left along his collarbone and shoulder, remembering the heat that was last night.
I've had a decent amount of sex in my life, but nothing. Nothing compares to this shit right here.
He points his fingers to my body, scrolling up and down with a look of disbelief. I blush while straddling his lap, his back against the headboard and his hands now massaging my exposed thighs, the morning light sneaking in through the window. Things got a little wild last night. I've never experienced anything like it. He taught me like the eager student I was, trying new things that set my insides on fire. We were exploring one another, finding out what made each of us tick. He was so amazing with me too, giving me little bits of praise, telling me how good I was doing, how I was driving him wild. His deep, raspy tone while telling me he was going to come inside me sent me so far over the edge that my eyes were rolling to the back of my head in pleasure. We were addicted. Our new drug, our insatiable appetite for each other. It was never enough. We just couldn't get close enough. Our bodies synced together like we've been connecting for years. At one point, I was on top of him on his bed while he held my hands behind my back, restraining me while bringing me to the brink of orgasm. The sensations became so intense, I broke free of his hold, grabbing onto his chest, and raked my nails down the tanned, tattooed skin, leaving marks in their trail. I think you've brought out a new side of me, I chuckle, slightly embarrassed.
Nah, it was always there, just not being utilized,
he declares, shaking his head.
What a fucking shame.
I bite the corner of my lip, blushing again at his words, before grabbing his hands and placing the palms against mine. Cameron Hawk, I whisper, measuring our hands.
Cam and Cole,
he says with a shy smile, eyeing my little hand against his. Why don't you ever go by your first name? I ask curiously. He sighs, looking down at our connected hands before speaking.
My dad's nickname while he was in the Navy was Mouse. They called him that as a joke because he never seemed to live up to his name in their eyes. They were horrible to him, especially when he slowly became weaker and weaker, not knowing that he was fighting his own battle with colon cancer the entire time.
I sit there, listening intently to his story as I slowly weave my fingers through his.
When I was 10, we moved from Virginia Beach after he was discharged for medical reasons. He brought me here to focus on his health, his treatments. He actually went into remission for years before it came back again, but he couldn't keep up the fight. The last thing he told me was to never let anyone define what they don't understand, and that no one can characterize who you are but you.
I squeeze his hands, holding them against my chest as my eyes wince at his father's dying words.
He was the strongest man I've ever met. I decided I'd embrace the name from my father and hunt through life like a hawk. Always went by it. Not that it helped me. I was lost without him. And then after Ben, I was gone for good. Led astray by the wolves who took advantage of that. Not many people even know my real name besides attorneys and all that.
I do, I say softly, feeling beyond lucky to know this intimate side of him.
Yeah, you do.
He grins back at me, then drags his tongue against his lower lip, looking at mine. I lean forward, capturing his bottom lip between mine, slowly sucking on it until it springs back, making him smile.
And what about your family? I know you mentioned your sister, but what about your parents?
He asks, bringing our conjoined hands up to his lips, rubbing my knuckles against them while looking at me with his brows raised. I take a deep breath and let it out. Well, it's just us and our dad now. They divorced after my dad cheated on my mom with a younger woman whose name just so happens to be Nicole. It, along with other things, destroyed our family. I pause, thinking of the pain of losing my mother, then quickly brush it away. He's actively trying to bring her into our lives. I shake my head in disapproval.
Shit.
He grimaces, seemingly now understanding my hatred for the name. I was so mad at him, I say, looking down at our interlocked fingers. For cheating,